We're going to start in Isaiah 50 this afternoon. Isaiah 50, and verse 4, what I want to talk about today is that God speaks in an audible voice, and that's what he does to us. He has done all the way along, his voice. And we'll see a lot of scriptures on this, but we ourselves, you know, we know sometimes what the Lord wants us to do. For instance, when we were trying to sell our farm and things were pretty tough for us because interest rates were really high and there was interest on interest on interest and it was going up. And we, at the time, way back in 1985, well, it was 86 when we sold out, yeah. But we probably owed about $380,000 at that time. That was a fair whack of money then. So we decided that we'd sell out before we went to the wall, as the saying goes. And anyway, Glenys went into the bedroom and got on her knees and said, "Lord, what are we going to do?" Because the interest was just, you know, just bounding up. 17% to 23%, we were saying, and some people were paying 25%. You know, a quarter of what you owe is just massive. And when it's interest on interest all the time, every month or whatever it was, week or month, it just skyrockets. And she got on her knees and said, "Lord, what are we going to do?" And he said, "Just trust me." That's all he said, "Just trust me." And, of course, we ended up having a clearing sale that, you know, we sold things. We sold a grain auger for more than new price. Can you imagine that? You know, somebody goes along and buys a grain auger that puts the grain from the truck up into the silo for more than new price. They could have gone and bought a brand new one for new price. This was a fairly new one, but... And things like that. The cattle sold for the price that I'd asked for it. And the sheep, we'd topped the market in wool prices for that month. And, you know, people flocked to buy the sheep because of it. And there's all those wonderful blessings, but the Lord says, you know, just trust me. And, of course, it was just... about that time when we got told about being filled with the Spirit, coming to the Lord, and it was just, you know, it was amazing. I remember getting filled with the Spirit and driving 120 k's home that night, and I was just bubbling over like a boiling kettle. It was that exciting. And so the Lord speaks to us in an audible voice, one that can be well and truly understood. In verse 4 here of Isaiah 50, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakens in the morning. By morning he wakens mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." So in other words, all of us here, in the first place, had somebody told us about the Lord, it was God's word, and we heard it. We did something about it. You know, we heard repent and be baptised to start with. We never heard that in our church life before. And a lot of us probably never had a church life. So it was a matter of trusting in the Lord. And once the Lord could see that we trusted in him, once he could see, you know, Glenys getting down and said, "Oh, Lord, what are we going to do?" He knew that she was really trusting in him to do something, and he said, "Just trust me." What a wonderful thing to have happen. Go over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, and we read in And it says here, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones." I always think of this scripture because I remember Fran Doney's husband, Colin, showing me this scripture way back because he had a little bit of fat on his bones. And he pointed this out. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And, of course, we know that when we get the Spirit, it's like rivers of living water, isn't it? They fail not. And verse 12, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in." And, of course, when we get the Spirit, that's what happens, isn't it? You know, there we are, we're given the Spirit, and, of course, we go out and we start building, don't we? The church is built. We knock on a door and invite somebody to come. Glennis and I went and knocked on Lena's door. And here she is today, still sitting with us. And that's... Yeah, you keep coming. That's it. She's a brick in the wall. And it's fantastic. But all of us have had that experience, haven't we? You know, every one of us has been called. We've been blessed. And we love to build the fellowship. That we just desire. In fact, when we see all the saints in Papua New Guinea and places like that, and as Pastor Kevin was saying, even in Indonesia and so on and so forth, they're just growing. There's walls going up everywhere. In other words, there's lots of people coming. And we're battling here with Israel of old, of course. But, yes, it's the Lord guiding us continually. That's what's happening here. It's a real pleasure, you know. It's the desire of God to look after us because the devil won't give you a thing. All he wants to do is take away. He wants to take away the mortar. He wants to pull down the bricks. He wants to do everything against us. But what we find here is that we shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Fantastic. Revelation 1. In Revelation 1, we read here in verse 10. What am I doing? I'm in the wrong book. Right. Revelation 1 in verse 10. And John here saying, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." So here is a great voice as of a trumpet. And a trumpet doesn't make a small sound. It makes a blast. And going on, he says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega," and so on. In verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment," and so on and so forth there. But the thing is, the seven golden candlesticks were the seven churches, of course, but the Lord here caused John to turn and see the voice that spoke to him. And yet, you know, there was nothing there but the golden candlesticks that he saw. He didn't see God. Nothing there, but the Lord was talking to him. And once again, you know, John heard. He heard something. He heard a voice, of course, as the sound of a trumpet. So he heard something that wasn't really there, except God was there. Of course, the Spirit was there. Nothing physical that you could see. And yet he turned, and of course, there was what John needed to do, to speak to the seven churches, the Lord's word. Exodus 3, and we read in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, and the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, even for you and I, really in the first place, was the fact that we said, here am I. Yes, I'll get baptized. I'll do this. I can see that it's right. Here am I. And of course, so Moses did that. Here am I. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanite, the Hittites, and so on and so forth there. But the thing is that he was drawn, God was going to draw the people out, and he was going to use Moses here. And, of course, not only that, it was a fact that the Lord was delivering his people. Just the same as at the moment he's delivered each and every one of us that's here. And now, that's not to say that some people that aren't here aren't delivered. Of course they are. But there are people that can be here and they can walk out of this door or wherever they are and walk away from the Lord. And we know that the scriptures clearly say that it'll be worse for them to have known the way of truth and to fall from it than if they hadn't known it at all. So worse for them. Because the Lord has already shown them through the Spirit. He's spoken to them and given them a voice. Acts 7. In Acts 7, a verse here we read in verse 3, or verse 2, and he said, this is Stephen here, and he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into a land which I shall show thee. And, of course, that's the very thing that Abraham did. And when you think about it, you know, he left a place. Just imagine if the Lord said to you, I want you to go to Wiluna. Do you know where Wiluna is? In the middle of Western Australia. I want you to go there. There's probably a purpose that the Lord would want us to go there and preach the gospel to people. And because the Lord would know whether there was going to be people there that would listen. And so it's a faraway place. It's got interesting stuff there. The last of the nomads are buried in the cemetery there. There's two Aboriginal people that were living way out in the desert by themselves. And people went out there to find where they were, and eventually they found them. They were skin and bone, but they were living out there by themselves. And these two people, I've forgotten their names, but they're buried in the cemetery there at Wiluna, of all places. But, the thought of Abraham, I looked at it once, and Abraham really travelled in a distance from here to Adelaide on foot with his flocks and with his tents and with, his people. It's a long way. It's a long way when you think of it. Altogether, he went up the top to Haran and then right down into Egypt and back again. A long, long way he walked. And yet the Lord was with him and blessed him all the way along. And that's how it is with you and I. If we look at it, if we go to Romans 4, while we're nice and close. But, the Lord said, get thee out of thy country. Romans 4, in verse 1 we read, and what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, when we look at that and think about it, and it's been mentioned many times before, but to be willing to offer up your son as a sacrifice. And he was going ahead to do that, even to the raising up, ready to execute his son, and the Lord provided, didn't he? Put a ram there. But, right from the beginning, he said to Abraham, get thee out. He had a plan for Abraham. He's had a plan for you and I all the way along. And that's why we're here today. We're still here, and I'm sure we don't intend to leave, and all the people said. Yeah. It's great to think about it. He wasn't justified by works, but he was justified because he was faithful. He believed God. And, of course, that's something we need to do. I often think, sometimes we can go to the prayer line for a prayer. And really, whatever our ailment is or whatever, we need to be able to think that we're giving it to the Lord. Sometimes, we go and have prayer and we can walk away and really we're trying to heal ourselves in after a type. Rather than saying, Lord, this is yours, I'm going to forget about it now, walk away, and quite often you find, bang-o, whatever it is, has come to pass. And it's just fantastic. Let's go to 1 Samuel 3. How are we going for time? 1 Samuel 3. Verse 4. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. We just heard this before in Scripture. Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be that if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went, lay down. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And so, you know, here's the Lord, he's going to do something, but it took Samuel a little while to realise that it was God that was talking to him, and it wasn't Eli that was calling him. And, you know, it's amazing when you think of it. There was God's voice to Samuel, and he responded each time, but it was the fourth time that he actually did what he was supposed to do because Eli had told him to. And so it's a calling. You know, he was blessed because of it. Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6 here, we read in verse 8, and God's calling Isaiah here, and he says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And once again for us, we see a situation is that, you know, the Lord calls us to do something. In other words, he said to us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he wants us to do. And as Glenys was saying, you know, last night there was an opportunity to witness. And it came out of the fact that some Mormons are shifting in next door. Well, so because of that situation, there was a witness. My neighbour, who's going to be my ex-neighbour, was querying it. And I was able to say to him, because he said, look, what's going on in the world? I just can't really believe that there is a God. He said, I was an Anglican way back, but, you know, that's it. I don't go to church anymore. And he said, I just can't see that there is a God. And I said to him, you won't know until you receive the Spirit. It doesn't matter how much you try, you get the Spirit, get filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues, I said, then you'll start to understand it. And that's how it is. And so whether that takes root or not, we don't know. They're shifting to the Upper Swan, to a retirement village there, so maybe some of the Perth people might be able to follow them up, and we don't know. Anyway, Matthew 3:17, just one verse there. Now, John the Baptist here was, of course, said to Jesus, you know, I need to be baptised of you. And John said, you know, it's not me to baptise you, but Jesus obviously said to him, you know, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes, this is verse 15, us to fulfil all righteousness. And he suffered him. And in verse 17 we read, And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That, you know, now that's a victory for us, ourselves also, because Jesus, without Jesus, of course, we wouldn't have received the Spirit. We would have still been going along in the Old Testament ways, possibly. But because of Jesus, there is a new agreement. There's a new covenant. And so now he probably looks on us and says, here's my son or daughter in whom I'm well pleased for us because we are willing to go and do the Lord's work. Let's finish up in Acts 10. So, you know, we never need forget the calling of the Lord. And in Acts 10, and we read in verse 13, we read, "And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat,'" because this is because of the sheep that had been sent down, and of course they're all manner in verse 12 of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice unto Peter, "Rise and kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, that call thou not common." And of course, really, it's talking about the Gentiles today. You know, that's how it is. You know, the Jews, of course, they thought they were it, and that it was them only. But of course, God has called all mankind. He wants all to come to repentance, that none should perish. And verse 16: "This was done thrice, and the vessel received up again and to heaven. But now, while Peter doubted himself what was the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, 'Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, 'Behold, I am he who seeketh what is the cause wherefore you are come.' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion is a just man, one that fears God and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear the word to thee.'" And of course, we know that this was a situation like many of us that were going to churches beforehand, the traditional church scene, and what happened? We were called out to a place where you received the Spirit. You received the life, a future life, an eternal one. And that's the glorious thing about it. You know, the Lord doesn't hold back. And every day the Lord talks to us, doesn't he? With a still small voice sometimes, just in our heads, "I want you to do this or read this or do something else." And that's what we do. And, of course, the Lord blesses us. He blesses us in everything because he hears our cry when we cry unto him, and we expect an answer, don't we? And, of course, that's what happens. He sends it back. Okay, amen. We'll leave it there.